We're live.
In a world absent of Santan Brewery and crazy right-wing politicians, coming to you from the land of fog, automatic, crazy left-wing politicians, and poopy sidewalks, I'm Chuck Reynolds, and the Dreadcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's tough.
You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
For the Dreadcast, here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dreadcast starts now.
Right now, here we are, 5-5, episode 55. Dre, what's up, dude?
I'm here, and I'm honoring Junior Seau today, number 55, San Diego Chargers, great, my brother, rest in peace. And here we go, 55, Dreadcast doesn't rest in peace. It's going to be a hell of a show. You ready to go, Brad?
I am ready to go, man. I got my cheese head on. You check it out, you know. It's funny you didn't even mention the fact that I'm wearing a big piece of cheese on my head. It's cool.
Folks, for those watching the show, make sure that every joke that Brad says, we hashtag cheese.
Check this out, though. So I got this from one of the WordCamp Milwaukee organizers, Dustin Filippini. They actually gave these, if you're watching the video, you can see they're branded WordCamp Milwaukee. They gave these to all the speakers. How cool is that? They really love their cheese there. Got my gift today, so I figured I would wear it for a little bit of our show. And especially since we have a very special guest on this show, and let's go ahead and bring him on. So he's a former WordCamp Phoenix organizer, former Santan neighbor. Former, it hurts my heart. This ain't child's play, man. This is Chuck Reynolds. Chuck, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen? It's a privilege to be here, even though you're wearing a cheese head.
You know, I won't disgrace the Bears fan, so I'll take it off.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Somewhere out there, Lisa is screaming, no.
Yes. Lisa's very happy at being the biggest Packers fan in the world.
Listen, if you came on the show wearing a cheese head, we might have.
You are all chappy, Mr. Dre, but we're going to keep on moving forward. So let's get right into it. I want to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Chuck, I heard a rumor that you're drinking some beer over there.
Yeah, that's usually true. Today I was gonna go with a Scrimshaw, which is local. We couldn't get any across the street, so we are doing Sapporo Premium Japanese Beer.
Oh, nice. Good stuff. That might be a first on the show. I don't think we've had anyone drinking Sapporo, so
nice. It's good stuff.
Very cool, Dre. Man, I know you're wetting the whistle over there as well. What do you got?
Hey, I'm the most uninteresting man in the world, but I got a Dos Equis here, and it's delicious.
Man, this might be the first time all three people have been actually drinking something with alcohol on it in a while. So I have the best beer in the world. I know that because I made it. It's a Williams White. Oh, yeah. So cheers, gentlemen. Oh,
cheers.
Nothing quite as good as beer you made. Love it. So where do we start, Chuck? We got all sorts of things to talk about, but generally in these interviews, we like to take a step back, and rather than talk about what you're doing now and today, let's talk about how you started, how you really got into it. Just the web. Where did that interest first peak for you?
I would say probably late high school, maybe. I played a lot of sports in high school, so I didn't really do much with computers, but as I was getting into college, somehow I took like an internet class or something, and it was basic code, like basic HTML, and that's like when, Internet Explorer was better than Netscape and all that kind of stuff. and I don't know, it just got into that, and then I think like one of the first web pages I made with a buddy of mine was like a South Park website with all those like stupid animated GIFs everywhere, because, you know, everybody did that. It was just awesome. But I don't know, through college, my whole focus was engineering and stuff. And then towards the end of college, I found, you know, all the military bases were being closed in Northrop Grumman, and all the big people weren't hiring engineers, and I was like, shit, I need to find, like, a job when I get out of college. So I kind of relied back on some of the coding stuff that I'd done through school and hacking, and I was really big into the Juarez scene and stuff, so I knew how to, like, get into code and, like, mess with stuff, but I fell out of that and started working for some really crappy companies. I learned what not to do, and ended up getting fired, left, and started my own web company, and did that for a long time, then went freelance, and then kind of that's when WordPress started to show up, and then the rest, I guess, is history.
I like how you start out with, in high school I had a life and was playing sports and going on dates while you nerds were learning your websites.
I didn't do too many dates. I kind of sucked at that, but yeah, my main focus was scoring points and doing that.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I was the guy behind the computer at school. It's cool. It's cool, man. I get what you're saying.
All good. I had friends everywhere, man.
That's pretty. So about the time you got to WordPress, when was that? What year are we talking, or what version, or if you remember when you kind of started dabbling?
Honestly, I remember I used B2, so I was in it. I was using movable type before all that stuff. And I started getting into, like, ads and, like, what was, like, the early makings of affiliate marketing, I guess. And I was using movable type, and it was all CGI-based, right? So every time I wanted to, like, post something, or I'm really shitty at writing, so I have to edit everything, like, 5 times or 50. And every time you did that, you had to, like, rebuild your whole site. Well, I had sites that were huge, and it just got to be, like, a massive problem. And at the time, MySQL is, like, really, really slow, and nobody used it yet. But I started looking around, and I found B2, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take the jump. So I went to MySQL, used B2, and it was, like, just kind of dead. And then Matt and Mike and everybody kind of forked it. And so, honestly, I've kind of been around WordPress since before WordPress, I guess.
Go ahead, Dre. Bad joke. It's all good. Keep crushing.
Please reiterate your bad joke. That always makes it better when you say a bad joke a second time, right?
Yeah. I said fork it if you can't take a joke.
There you go. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. It's funny. We've had a lot of early adopters on this show as far as WordPress is concerned. A lot of people that were, you know, pre-WordPress, and I was after WordPress, quite a bit after WordPress. So it's always fun to talk to people that were there when that happened. So you started working with B2, kind of turned into WordPress. You started working with WordPress. Were you already kind of doing? It sounds like you were already working on some client sites with WordPress at that time. Is that when you really started to get in and realize, you know, hey, there's money to be made here?
Honestly, I don't think I saw WordPress as that right away, because it was still very bloggy and not CMS-y, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
So I don't think I used it. I use it a lot for personal stuff and just making money and, like, affiliate stuff. And that's, again, kind of a weird thing of how I maybe got into SEO. You just kind of, like, see what people are talking about in, like, the media and, like, about movie stars and stuff, and I just go post it and be there first, and then that's how I started to get a lot of traffic for the ads and the affiliate stuff, and that was, like, even before Google AdWords and all that. And so I use it totally as a blog, like, at first, and it was honestly for personal gain, not really just to blog about my life, because honestly it's pretty boring. But I started to use it for client sites, I think, after I started my first company. It was in 2003, like early 2004 maybe, and I think we started to slowly implement that into it. So yeah, I started doing it for that, and then obviously I've just been, like, deep in it ever since then.
So good old affiliates. I have, I guess, a love-hate with affiliates and just the whole idea around it. It's, I feel like a lot of people do. There's certainly good, really good things that can come out of affiliates, but there's also kind of the shady, dark side of affiliates, and, you know. It's...
Yep, I understand. And I don't...
Usually you're just...
Oh, sorry, I was laggy. There's totally a dark side to it, and... The thing with me is I like to know how to do the dark side, but I don't necessarily always go there. So, but I want to know how it works in all mannerisms. So That's usually kind of how I roll with most things. I'll figure out how it works, and I know how I could use it for bad, but I've usually been pretty straight and clean.
I don't always go to the dark side, but when I do,
I mean, you just
I want to make some money.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be totally white side, because if you are, you're just not going to make any money. You got to walk the line a little bit. It's like taxes. You want to walk the line, you just don't want to jump too far over it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely a way to look at it. But I think there's some truth to that. Like, there's always that gray area. I know the SEO, too, which we'll get into. And I think in the SEO side of things, too, there's kind of that gray line between white hat and black hat kind of SEO techniques. And you have to kind of walk that line a little bit.
Sure.
You're going to get trampled, right? So, so let's talk about that. So you have a bit of a history with SEO. Well, you know what? Let's go back. So you got into WordPress. You started, it was a blog, you know, platform at that time. Obviously, early on, it was certainly a blog platform.
Yep.
Through and through. Really was not a CMS. It's obviously grown up since then.
Oh, yeah.
And you've obviously grown with WordPress around what you did. Like you said, you started some companies. So how did that evolution go for you? At what point did it click and say, you know what, WordPress is actually the platform I can use to build out the sites that I want to build?
Yeah, so when I sold the couple of companies way back in the day, I don't even know, 2007 or something, I was like full WordPress, like hardcore. I was like deep in it, like really big. That's all I would touch was only WordPress stuff. And I just got to be known, at least in the Phoenix kind of area, as like the WordPress guy or whatever, just because I would just jump into every project. But nowadays, I mean, we still use it a lot, but I build a lot of like really custom things, but I forgot where I was going with that. But yeah, I mean, basically I've always wanted more, so everything I do in WordPress, I'm always like right there on the edge. I'm trying to use, you know, like the release candidates to do like, you know, the next best thing that's coming out. I'm trying to get everything out of it I can. For most stuff still, I mean, we'll use it for a lot of things actually, until we go to the really big custom web apps that we build. But I can pretty much build anything you want in WordPress, and you know, sometimes there gets to be a point where you kind of talk about building a custom app more so than WordPress, but that's like pretty large custom apps these days.
Sure, and you're definitely kind of the entrepreneur, which I think a lot of the people that we've had on the show are, and there's a lot of entrepreneurs in the WordPress space, right? And that's who we really enjoy talking to. So you've started quite a few companies over the years. Including the two that you are with now, right?
Yeah, so I pretty much swore off business partners after the first two companies because I kind of had a bad ride. But after freelancing for a long time, I started Ver with, I worked at the co-working place with them, and we used to trade a lot of work back and forth all the time. Because I was pretty specific, like I only did like SEO and then like custom WordPress builds, like that's all I wanted to touch. Everything else I'd just refer or I'd sub it, you know, whatever. But I would tell the client, like, I'm not doing this, I'm subbing it. Like, I'm not going to tell somebody I'm going to do it and then not. It's like, I'm just pretty straightforward. But after a while, they just kind of came to me and were like, hey man, we can do like way bigger projects if we all just kind of work together. And I'm all about more money and more fun and less work. So that's kind of where that came from.
Good words to live by.
Yeah, so Ver started out of that, and Ver was just a big custom development company with like very heavy analytical marketing side of things. So everything's very, very technical, very analytical thinking. Everything's built that way, and all our marketing campaigns are set up that way. And then, we've progressed a little bit past that into another new company called Levers. And Levers comes out of a tool that we built to make our job easier at Ver. And now it's turned into a pretty big beast where we're actually forecasting your marketing data and everything like that. So that's the new startup, but we're still running both. So Ver is mostly like a consultancy kind of thing now that still builds very large custom apps. And then Levers is a startup where it's a product-based kind of company.
So it sounds like with Ver and being a digital marketing firm and how you describe it, it sounds like you're still building sites, but you're doing it, you know, really looking at analytics, looking at where a particular site or company needs to be to prosper as much as possible in that space. Is that a pretty true statement?
Yeah, I mean, we still get stuff where it's like, hey, I need a website, and they're referred to us, and we're like, okay, let's go through the typical kind of route. But a lot of stuff that comes to me is, hey, I have a site. It needs a lot of fixing, or we need to, like, figure out landing pages, and my site's converting at, like, 3%. I'm losing money. My sales or my call center isn't full. Like, you got to help me out. So it's every time we get it really hard and deep into marketing, there's always a side of things where, you know, their site's messed up and the conversion rate isn't good, and it's mostly because of the way the site's built or the landing page is built, or just basic usability problems or layout, or you got too much crap on here or not enough crap. I mean, you know, so we'll get like really heavy into the usability of things and the way the structure of the site is built, make it clean, slick, fast. Obviously, you get a little bit into IT stuff there, but yeah, primary focus is on conversion optimization at this point, whether that's, you know, having people fill out a form or, you know, hey, I need to sell more of this product because my, you know, it's cheaper to advertise for this product on the internet and I can make a lot more money if I sell more, so how do I do that?
So conversion optimization really leads back to, I mean, at least for me, the usability of the site, I mean, the content and things that you're creating there and how people are interacting with that and the psychological actual direction that you drive them. Are you guys doing any funnel work? I mean, is that part of what you guys are working through to get, you know, the actual conversions up to where folks think they should have them?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the funnel is all part of what I was mentioning without actually mentioning the word funnel, but yeah, it's, you know, how, you know, where are they coming from? You optimize that, and then where are they going, and how do they get through? So the whole funnel process, I mean, it's always broken at some point, and we get people with very streamlined processes, and they're like, you know, my conversion rate's 18% on this. I'd like to get it to 20. If I could get it to 20, then I can do this, and I can turn on that marketing thing, and it's like, sometimes it's really freaking hard, but sure. That's what we're good at. So we'll dig and we'll figure it out.
I love it. That's something that excites me. That's really something. Well, especially now, if you guys are building a service around this, I could see where that could be beneficial beyond hiring a growth hacker or a team internally to be able to do that. To have a service come out and hey, let's see where you're kind of at. Where is it that you want to be? And getting through that, what does that process look like in terms of the solution or the interaction with you and the service?
Right, so, I mean, growth hackers, that's a funny word. We make fun of that all the time.
Fair enough.
I respect growth hackers. It's not a thing. It's not like I'm not anti-growth hacker. It's just a funny buzzword, you know, that everybody throws around. It's like, it's kind of like social media expert.
Sure.
Whatever. Like, what do you do? Like, tell me what you do every day. So,
growth hack, bitches.
Don't worry about it. I'm an expert.
Yeah.
I'm a ninja
expert.
I'm a rock star.
Yeah, you're an expert when you can prove you make me money. That's one year.
Yeah.
The process, I guess, and it's completely dependent upon the project and what their issue is, and because everything's different. I've never had one where it's like, okay, let's get you into this level of the process and then go through this. Like, it never, never, never is like that. So primarily it's like, for the most part, we'll fix the site, not first, but in like at the same time as we'll fix some of the basic level, like, analytics stuff. So sometimes people just aren't tracking things properly. Like, their conversion rate's actually pretty good. They're just not tracking it. They have the wrong event firing, or the form isn't always firing an event, or, you know, whatever. There's always tons of wrong things. But so we'll look at the site code. We'll look at, you know, how the events are firing and analytics at the same time. And then so we'll kind of do those at the same time. And then we'll focus on, once that's kind of built out and whatever, we'll focus on the, like, the, you know, is it paid search that you're doing? Is it Facebook paid search? Is it Google? Is it Bing? Where are you getting the stuff from? You'll focus on a little bit out. So pretty much we'll start at the core and kind of work out from there, the core being whatever the conversion is, whether that's a form or whether that's e-com, you know, a purchase thing. So you work backwards from there. But at the same time, when you're working on the code, you pretty much work on the analytics at the same time, because you got to be tracking. If you don't have data, I can't tell you what to do.
No doubt. I am a firm believer that the data will set you free, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, we often are trying to figure out what's going on or to get to a certain point where of success, whatever that marker is, right? But we try to do that through a guessing game. Well, like, I think this will happen, or I think that this is the case. Well, they've got good data-driven processes in place to really analyze what's going on. It's helpful. Any specific tools that you recommend there, Chuck? I know for me, a mix of Mixpanel with Google Analytics and a few other things seem to have been very helpful through some of the projects I've worked on.
Yeah, so we know the Mixpanel guys pretty well, actually. So depending on what you're tracking, again, I mean, some sites, sure, analytics can completely just handle everything. But if you're dealing with pretty customized stuff and there's like a back-end funnel, obviously Mixpanel steps in and kind of kicks ass there. But honestly, analytics, I mean, I don't know, man. Google can do Google Analytics can do a lot of stuff. Just people don't know how really to do it. So, I mean, that's really where we come in. They're like, well, we want to track this and track this, and, you know, somehow we got to, like, build something to do that. And we're like, we just kind of look at them, we're like, yeah, you can do that in analytics. Like, not a problem. So, it's an education thing at that point, and I would totally rather educate people than be like, oh, yeah, we got to spend $20,000 to build this thing.
I was going to say, it's good to hear that you're on that.
Yeah. No. Like,
company side of...
Yeah, I mean, we'll get even some.
Yeah,
stuff.
I can do that people right at all. Do that tool.
And I'm like, listen, I can spend 40 hours building something, or I can spend 5 and just and then the rest of the hours, you know, building something, and the rest of the hours, I can spend 10 telling your marketing team how to do this, and then we're done. And, like, to me, I'm fine with that. It's like, yeah, I'm not making as much money, but I will make money later because that guy respects the shit out of me, and they're going to come back and do a lot more work with me. I've always been like that. So it's like, I'll tell you what to do, even if it's not beneficial for me.
Let's talk about your latest startup, Levers. So you mentioned a little bit early on, we haven't got too deep into it. So basically it's described as Levers forecasts your data to find a baseline of what will happen next. Right. So it sounds like you're essentially predicting the future based on historical data.
Look at Marty McFly over here.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about how does that work? Is it literally just analyzing the old and you're able to predict kind of what's going to happen next?
So yeah, I mean, essentially we ingest historical data. The main product will just pull in your analytics data, but we can pull in any time series data. So we have like mobile gaming companies that sell games on all the iOS and Android and all that kind of stuff, and they have like a ton of data. We pull in all that data, and then we can analyze that through our engine that we've built, and then tell you, you know, hey, this network can do better if you put some time into that. Basically tell you where to focus your time and where to focus money over others. And we also built a simulation engine, so you can also do that yourself. So the base product will be, we actually have a free product out there called Blueprint, where you can just like authorize your Google Analytics. It'll pull that in, and it just gives you a big report right away. And it forecasts all your stuff. And you can set a couple goals and, you know, say if your page views or if... you know, you got a revenue tracking on there. We'll pull all that in, then you can put in your goal saying like, hey, instead of 400,000 page views this month, I want to get 490,000 page views. And then based on our forecast, we can tell you if you're going to hit that, if you're not, and then we give you kind of some tips automatically that tells you how to fix that. So that's the free product. So the paid product is, you know, the big data analysis tools where we do the huge analysis on, you know, custom time series data and all your analytics data, and you can run simulations on that, and so you can tell your team, like, okay, if our quarterly budget is this for marketing, I can take that and be like, okay, let's forecast this scenario, let's forecast this scenario, and let's forecast this scenario. Well, obviously that one's going to make a lot more money, and that's going to get me closer to my target, so let's go to that. And we're very, very accurate doing that.
Sounds like it's almost like forecasted A/B testing, in a sense.
Where yeah, I mean, you can look at it that way. Sure.
That's pretty wild. And all this talk of analytics.
Yeah.
All this talk of analytics makes me realize I'm doing like absolutely nothing compared to what I probably should be doing. And I'm looking at all right, how many hits did I get today? Oh, cool, it's up. Awesome.
And that's fine. I mean, like I have a really good friend of mine who runs a really, really, really large forum. People actually still use forums, but. He doesn't do like revenue tracking or event tracking, but his thing is page views because he has advertisement based on page views. So, you know, he can run it through and see all his page views and set goals and do all that kind of stuff and then try and work on that. And he can see the forecasts and how he's doing and everything. So that works for him, and it works for people with event tracking and revenue tracking, like e-com stuff. And so works pretty good.
So I think the most important question that we need to get to, kind of the, you know, the elephant in the room, if you will, you used to live like right next to Santan pretty much, and you moved, and you now live in San Francisco. So what, I mean, what exactly was going through your mind when you said, you know what, I don't need Santan, I don't need Gangplank, I don't need this amazing weather, I'm going to San Fran.
All right. So I here, honestly, I think the weather is amazing. I love it. So it's cloudy sometimes. That doesn't bother me. But I still wear shorts and a T-shirt like every day. So the weather thing doesn't bother me. But the one thing I don't miss specifically about Arizona is the 109,000 degree summers, because that is not fun.
It is true.
I do, it. You know, Gangplank was cool. Gangplank's like a collaborative workspace for people that don't know, and I wrapped Gangplank's them really into cool. The WordCamps that I ran and all that kind of stuff, so people could kind of see the space and see how it works and all that. But yeah, it was right next to Santan, and honestly, one of my apartments, I lived in a bunch of places there, but one of the apartments I lived in was like within walking distance to Santan, and it's a cool place. I really love it, and every single time I would check in on Foursquare, you guys would like it, like, every time. Isn't it? But
you're so jealous, man. I'm like, oh,
yeah, but when you live next to the place, it's like, yeah. I got like 20 other places to eat.
It ruins the magic when it's that accessible, right? And that's kind of why I think it's special for us, because we're lucky if we get to get there once a year, you know. So it's
it's a great place, man. I actually know the owner really well, and he's a cool dude, and beers are good, the scene's cool, it's right next to everything down there in Chandler, so yeah.
I have a feeling Dre and I will probably make a stop there when we're out for Pressonomics.
Pressonomics, yeah.
So even though it's not being held in Chandler, it's close enough, but I'm pretty sure Dre and I, if not 50 other people, are going to go with us over there.
It's in Tempe, is it not?
Mm. I believe so. Is that right, Dre? Yeah.
You could get the first official Drag Camp, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what will happen.
Drag Camp at Santan. Now we're talking. My liver's already...
That's where all the OG people understand to go, so that'll probably be a good meetup.
That is the spot for sure. All right, where do we go next? So, quickly, before we move on to pressing topics, you kind of just mentioned a minute ago, you did organize some WordCamps, WordCamp Phoenix, actually, twice. In 2009 and 2011. Overall thoughts on organizing a WordCamp. How did it go for you? Was it fun? Would you do it again? Are you out?
Okay. Well, I'm out.
let me let's just get that straight right off the bat. I'm out. Let's just get that out.
So when I organized WordCamps, it was very different than the world you guys live in now with organizing WordCamps. The first WordCamp I ran was 2009. I wanted to do it. I knew there was a big community in Phoenix, and I Matt Mullenweg came down to the Arizona Entrepreneur Conference, which a really good friend of mine runs, Francine Hardaway. And I talked to him. I took him aside. I was like, dude, I'm like, I know this WordCamp thing's kind of blowing up. I'm like, what do I do to get one into Phoenix? Because there's like a huge community here. And he's like, typical thing. He's like, oh, I'll just set it up and, you know, contact so-and-so. And it was, I don't even know who it was back then. It was not anybody that probably even works there anymore. But I can kind of remember her name. It was just his assistant. So he's like, oh, I'll talk to her. So I set it up and whatever. And I found out that, I'm not going to get into all this. We only have an hour show. Anyways, I found out that a large company that registers domains was thinking about it or something, and I didn't have any contacts over there. And Josh Strebel, who you guys I think recently had on, he's another big WordPress guy in Phoenix and runs Pagely. He's like, dude, he's like, I think these guys are trying to do it. You should talk to him. So he gave me a connection over there. And they're like, yeah, we wanted to do it, we just don't have the resources. I'm like, well, I'm going to do it, so give me some money, and I'm going to do it. So, I mean, that's the really, like, 3 weeks of talk in 1 second version of it. But so anyways, we did it. We had it in a massive, large tent, which was at a resort. it was pretty cool. Some things happened after that, which... sponsorship-wise kind of changed how things work for WordCamps, I guess. Drama, drama, drama.
Drama Press.
Yeah. I mean, you guys know WordPress community has its drama, but
I never really picked up on that.
Yeah, I never saw that. No. Yeah. The other one was 2011 was in January. I did that with Amanda Blum. She's another WordPress-ite. In that one, I was like, okay, we're free of like a lot of these constraints that I had before. Again, there wasn't really the WordCamp rules that exist now. There was talks of said rules, but nothing actually existed. So I'm like, listen, I'm just going to do it right. Any money we make is just anything left is going to, we're going to donate it to a local thing, which ended up being the Pat Tillman Foundation. It's a foundation I, you know, think very highly of.
Yeah.
So we did that. We went green. Everything was recycled, like all the food, everything we got was green and recyclable and energy efficient. And we did all this stuff and we raised a lot of money and had like a pretty awesome WordCamp, huge party. I think we had the first ice luge ever in WordCamp history.
Oh, the ice luge.
Pretty, if you guys remember that
part. I remember seeing it at one point. I don't know. There's pictures. That really...
We had a
like
pretty
that WordCamp.
Party.
That camp, if you talk to people, that WordCamp, I feel like set the bar for kind of, you know, going above and beyond just to let's get together and talk WordPress. Like it really is the WordCamp that everyone said, "Holy crap! Like this is amazing."
Yep.
There are some stories that came out of that. It's wild, and anyone that went knows exactly what we're talking about. It was
like,
a wild time.
There was like background stories. I don't even know if the real community actually knows. Like the dude that stole a cart of liquor and pushed it down Chandler Avenue.
Oh, God. People were handcuffed to trees. There was people just pounding the croutons. It was a lot of fun.
There was people humping trees, dude.
I wasn't going to mention that, Dre, but okay.
Yeah. So not only that, but that we had that. So I had a lot of friends at the city of Chandler, the government, and that building was brand new. Like, I mean,
gorgeous.
Brand new. And it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. And my friends were like, "Oh, why don't you have the party here?" Because we worked with them to get in like the fiber to pull into the city so that we would have full conference Wi-Fi. Like I worked that whole deal with the city and the library, so the library could get part of the fiber too, so they got to push through, whatever. There's a lot that went on for that WordCamp to happen. But we had the party at the city hall, and it was pretty epic, man. We ruined some of the flowers, which they had to replace. But other than that, it was a pretty awesome party at City Hall that everybody remembers.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things about the WordCamp Phoenix is just that it's one of the few, maybe only WordCamps I've been to where the town is like really heavily involved. The town is all about it. Like they're a sponsor.
They were all about it.
I mean, they're a sponsor of the event. I've never been to WordCamp where the town it was at sponsored the event, you know, like the local government. It was crazy.
And honestly, a lot of that comes from Gangplank, which is the collaborative workspace down there that I was involved with. So
that is great.
Gangplank worked really heavy with the city, and we're like, listen, the city, our thing from the get-go is the city has to be involved with what's going on in the town. Like, there's all this tech stuff, there's open space, but they need to know what's going on, and they need to be behind it, not just be like, yeah, there's this thing over there that people use. It's like, no, people want to come here and work. And they were just like, from the get-go, they're like, yes, this has to happen in Chandler. And I talked to them, and I'm like, hey, I want to have this big event. And they're like, do it. Bring it. But they're like, we'll support you. And they totally helped me get the fiber in there so that we had, like, really awesome Wi-Fi everywhere in that entire WordCamp. So it was good.
It was a great event. So with that, let's we got to move it on because we have some topics to talk about and we're running out of time. So, Dre, let's get over to pressing topics.
Word. Pressing.
Topics of the week.
We are looking. We're really close here on this this 4.0 of WordPress here. All hands on deck have been called for 4.0 beta 4 NRC1. As of this morning, Helen put out a post on the make.wordpress.org blog, and a lot of cool stuff going on. There's some tickets that need some love to reach final beta. So
it's very close. The official the scheduled release date for 4.0 is August 27th, which is exactly 2 weeks from today. So if they stick to schedule, if they can get it out the door, there might be a new version of WordPress on the day of our show in 2 weeks.
I like it. I'd like to announce it that day. So let's get moving, folks. Let's get in there. Let's help out and get this thing moving so we can get this thing released on the 27th. Man, that's 2 short weeks. It's gonna go quick.
That is pretty
very quick. So this is the time when you can get in there because there's a few blockers they got to work on. A lot of tickets getting punted to 4.1. It's they're triaging tickets. So if you're looking to get involved, this is a great time to get involved and help kind of trim down the list and get 4.0 ready to go out the door.
I'm excited about it. It'll be good. I want to see what the media kind of puts out. You know, we talked about it briefly a few episodes ago where, hey, look, this is a big release number, the 4.0. It's a major release. Oh, my gosh, what type of awesome stuff's been added? Well, a lot of awesome stuff, maybe not the feature sets that people are looking for that would be certainly related to a big release number like that. But I want to see what the pundits say. Let's see what the TechCrunch of the world and stuff talk about when 4.0 releases. I'm excited about it because I think it's got a lot of really cool stuff in it that maybe isn't going to get the notoriety, and certainly people involved aren't going to get the due respect and love for all the work that's went into it. So see what happens.
So now that I live in the fishbowl that is Silicon Valley, and it is a fishbowl, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, we could probably get some people to talk about it here. Maybe Product Hunt, if you guys ever heard of that. That's a good site to get new versions of things on.
I'm excited. I think, 2 weeks, it can't come quick enough. I'm hoping that they get through the rest of the stuff. And, you know, there's a few things being punted. Media Grid, then some issues or some improvements, the editor scrolling improvements. Looks like they may have some issues before final beta. So let's get in there and start looking at this stuff, folks. We've got, more news. I mean, this seems to be like a reoccurring theme lately on the podcast with different organizations combining, AccuHires, that type of stuff, the latest one being AuditWP. Wasn't around too long compared to Robert News' podcast, The Bacon, which didn't last, of course, being that it was a competitor, direct competitor to the world's best podcast.
We know what happens with those podcasts, right?
They come and they go. We love them all the same, but they just say there isn't room for them along with us. No, joking aside, Robert New, great guy. We had him on the show a couple months back. AuditWP is no longer on its own. It's been acquired by the folks over at WP SiteCare. We're going to see more of this in the maintenance and SiteCare space, guys?
Yes. Yeah, I think just totally. In the WordPress space. I mean, we've talked about this, Dre. I mean, at this point, it's getting to the point where we need like an acquisition merger, you know, sound effect or some bumper to use, because it's almost like a recurring theme every week. Someone's merged with somebody, someone's been acquired, and I think it's just, we've talked about it, it's the maturity, our community is growing up, and as companies are getting bigger and aligning with each other a little bit more, it makes sense to start, you know, coming together and do bigger and better things with people that you're already working with. So, It's another sign that the WordPress community is starting to grow up a little bit. We're no longer kind of in our teens. Maybe we're in our 20s now. I don't know. But, you know, we're getting older.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, good stuff. So congrats to the folks over there for getting everything combined.
Yeah, all good people.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes of it. Hopefully they continue to build. And I hope for a bright future for them. We'll see what acquisition we talk about next week. Man.
Who's getting acquired? What's the rumor mill? Who wants to start taking bets on this stuff? And I don't know. That might be fun.
We need like a leaderboard. I mean, like some type of fantasy acquisition.
Like, what are the odds? You know, we'll get some odds and do some virtual betting.
That is something I cannot forecast, actually.
Look, I saw you deep in thought there, Chuck. That was awesome.
He's running us through the grinder there, through his APIs and his systems. What's Lever tell us there?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Good news all around. I'm excited to see where that goes. There was another big update in the WordPress world, in the theming world, specifically underscores, right? So underscores theme for SaaS, which is it's a big one. It's a long time coming. There's been a group that have been pushing to try to get SaaS and underscores for, I didn't look up the exact date, but I want to say it's been, you know, 6 months to a year. To get it into the core of underscores, and it is now available.
Can you talk a bit about that, Brad? I mean, SAS, it's a CSS extension language, but can you talk a bit about what it does and why that's a big deal to that project?
Not really. I'm a developer, so I don't know what the hell it means. No, it's SAS is pretty cool. So I'm obviously not an expert. I don't use SAS. I've been through some presentations. Essentially, it's they call it CSS with superpowers, and that's what it is. If you've seen it, it's just a much cleaner and quicker way to build out CSS, to build reasonable code with CSS. It brings in more of the. As a developer, I really like it because. It brings in those developer features you expect, things like variables. You can set variables, define that variable once, and then use that variable throughout all your CSS, right? And then SAS will essentially compile that out into normal CSS. So if you truly understand SAS, you know what you're doing, it can save you a lot of time. So it's pretty neat to kind of see SAS inside of Starbucks, or sorry, not Starbucks, underscores. There's too many S's going on here. I'm getting confused. It's a long time ago, like I said. I know they're talking about maybe even having less is another type of kind of builder for this, the CSS, what do they call these, preprocessors? I'm not sure the exact term.
Less would be cool. That's what we use mostly.
Use less. I know there's like that SAS side and the less side is kind of back and forth. It seems like SAS is has a little bit more of a presence nowadays, but I've heard good things about less as well, and I think they're bringing it too. I like the way they did it. So if you go on GitHub, you can pull down SAS is there and available. If you go to underscores.me, you know how they have that kind of theme generator? SAS is a checkbox now. So if you want SAS, you check the box. It will be included in the theme that's generated. If you don't, you just don't check the box and it won't be in there. So if you don't want to use SAS, you don't want anything to do with it, it's not going to bloat your theme and put all that stuff in there if you don't want it. So big step forward for anybody using SAS and the underscores. Big step forward for underscores. So it's really exciting to see this in there.
Booyah!
And honestly, that's part of underscores growing up because it needs to have something like that.
Yeah, any serious front end dev is using less or SAS. So this type of support is somewhat expected from the more mature themes out there. And you're starting to see it a lot in the premium space as well, which you should be. Oh man, what time is it? We got time for another. This is speaking of Drama Press. Speaking of Drama Press, so there's been some rumors out there. There's been some unofficial reports that Dradcast has some beef with some other WordPress podcasts, specifically the Matt Report. So we wanted to bring this up so we could have an official stance on this beef that is out there and say that we absolutely do not like the Matt Report. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and before we get into too much detail about how much we hate Matt and his damn podcast, I need to let everybody know that I'm sitting here in my gi, and I'm ready to go. Let's do this, dude. Let's
great,
get it on.
Ready. Matt,
we could see you.
We are officially challenging you. You know what? I would like to see Matt do the ice bucket challenge. I've seen it all over the place. I've seen everybody dumping ice on their head. Matt, dude, I'm calling you out. Ice Bucket Challenge. You got to do it on your show. I want to see it. So we actually love Matt, Matt Medeiros, Matt Report, all the podcasts he's doing. He has about 50 of them now. He's doing really, really cool stuff. And the fact that I love his podcast so much because it's he's the only one doing what he's doing, which is his podcast is really around the business side of WordPress.
Yep.
So if you check out MattReport.com, he's really interviewing like industry leaders in our community, people that are really making a difference, specifically around the business side of things. Really get into talking about the business side, some of the things they're decisions they're making, acquisitions, mergers, all that stuff. Pricing, all that great stuff around the business side of WordPress. So we love Matt. We love what he's doing. There's no beef. So if anyone thought there were beef, we're just messing with each other. The real beef is with Jeffro in the WP Tavern. We really don't like that guy.
That's terrible.
We'll save that for another
Before we start slinging mud at Jeffro and the crud he's doing over there at the tavern, I do want you to go over to conductorplugin.com, which is a really cool thing that was just put out by Matt and his team. It allows you to customize the layout and content display of any WordPress theme. You need to go check it out. They're going to be doing some amazing things that's going to help a lot of people. So I definitely recommend you go check that out and head over to the Matt Report. They're doing some kick-ass things over there. Matt, we love you over here. It's unfortunate that the sideline folks want to get involved and talk about us slinging mud when, in fact, it's some just fun rivalry. I think you're doing kick-ass stuff over there, buddy, so keep it up. Even though we just are some devs over here talking about bar stories, I think that those that don't really know what we're doing should probably tune in once in a while. And in fact, We'd love to have you on the air. You know who I'm talking about. So there's all about that mudslinging for the day. Hey, question for you there, Big Daddy Chuck. How many beers are you in? Because I think one of the things you put out on Twitter before the show started was that you were going to rock a six-pack before the end of the episode. We are 47 minutes in, and I've only seen you crack like two or three, big guy.
No. This is number six. Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Let me turn the computer for proof, because I'm going to have proof here.
Oh, man. He was throwing them down. I lost count, too, so...
So there's
first
five.
Japanese beer, first person to, we still have a few minutes, but potentially down six beers in one episode.
Oh. All right. Well, let's go there, big guy.
Number six. All right. Continue.
Oh, man. We're breaking records left and right.
I'm about halfway there. I'll probably have six by the end of the evening, but I won't catch you on the show, unfortunately.
It was a dare by one of my employees, so I got to do it.
Well, that's going to be a first, certainly groundbreaking on the Dragcast as usual. With that said, and since we're having some beverages, let's take it to the bar. I want to hear everybody's bar tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Oh, man, I want to see Chuck stand on one foot, put his finger to his nose, and say the alphabet backwards.
Do we have time for that? Because I can still do that.
Probably not. We don't want to injure anybody. That might be all a lawsuit.
Right. I got it.
He's like, I got this.
If we got extra time, maybe.
Chuck, man, let's start with you. What bar trick do you have for us today?
Me?
Yeah.
My bar trick is I finally found a good redirect plugin that is good. So it's called Safe Redirect Manager. The reason I like it is because some of the redirect plugins, they only do 301s, which is a permanent redirect. Not all the time do I want to do that. So this plugin allows me to do 302s, which is like a temporary redirect, like 404s. You can set a lot of things on your redirect that you want to do. So if you have, there's definitely certain conditions on which you can do that in. So that's good. And the best thing about it is it allows me to do regular expressions in my redirect, which is like super awesome. So I can set a, instead of just setting a, hey, this page dot PHP now goes to blog slash this page slash, and do a 301, I can actually do regular expressions so I can match, folders or anything like that. If anybody knows regular expressions, it's a really good plugin. It works on CPTs. But anyways, that's my bar trick. It's really good. Good plugin. I use it all the time now, and I've converted all my old stuff that used to use different plugins to this plugin because I really, really like it, and it's awesome.
I'm going to have to check that out. I like it. And one thing that just came through some notes through a very dear friend is that something that Brad is really good at after a whole lot of drinks over at Santan is he starts speaking in cursive. And Chuck, my friend, you are starting to speak in cursive.
Hey, man, I've been hustling beers over here. Come on.
I love it. Oh, shit.
Not wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. Bradford, you want to go there, big guy? I think this is the first time in like months that all three folks on the show have a bar trick.
We do. I had one before we started. It's crazy. So I have one that popped up in the feed. It's a plugin as well called Comet Popularity, and it's built by a gentleman, Paul De Waters, and with conjunction with Human Made. Our friends are there at Human Made. It's a really cool plugin. So it kind of has like Reddit-style comments. So imagine you have a site, you get a bunch of comments. People can kind of up and downvote those comments based on if they like them or not and the relevancy maybe to what they're saying. And it will kind of show those comments in order based on votes, based on popularity. So it's kind of a neat idea. Hopefully, in theory, the better comments, the better conversations would be floated up to the top. The stupid comments, the troll comments, whatever, would be pushed down to the bottom or potentially removed. But it's pretty cool. The plugin's called Comet Popularity. It's up on WordPress.org. It's also on GitHub if you want to contribute back. But definitely check it out. I think it's a pretty cool idea.
You know what we should talk about at a different time is, are comments even relevant anymore?
That you know what that
now we're getting deep.
You know, that's a damn great point. We that came up last week
with Chris Brogan.
Yeah. And I think there could be a whole damn round table about that, because I think there's so many varied opinions. I'm one belief that no. I mean, the conversations, the social landscape has matured so much that those conversations are okay to happen there. Oh, as long as you're leading back folks to, you know, if it's a product or a service that you're selling or trying to grow, as long as those conversations are leading folks back to your site, that's fine. But the conversation doesn't necessarily have to happen there.
You got Dre all fired up, man. Let's go.
No, it's good stuff.
He's going.
It's a damn great point. I
tweeted a quick idea for a plugin called Conversation Continues, to where, you know, you can look at that. I don't know how much time we got, but yeah.
I love it. We should have that conversation.
Yeah, for sure. That actually is an interesting idea. Maybe we'll have to have a little round table one of these days.
I like it.
What's your bar trick over there?
Well, some folks that I know introduced me to this new resource scheduling and planning tool here recently called Hub Planner. HubPlanner.com, it gives you a good bird's eye view of your resources. So it's used by producers, project managers, resource planners, and digital agencies, and it's a great way to see all of your resources and scheduling, kind of see what they're up to and how life is going. It's used by a lot of major folks. It's got things from like timesheet tracking to detailed reports. You can set and create budgets, and it gives you a full 52-week availability. Good stuff. Go check it out. HubPlanner.com. Certainly not directly related to WordPress, but if you're running projects, this might be something that's interesting to you. Go check it out. It's not cheap, but it is awesome. HubPlanner.com. Man, this show hauled ass, and those were some great bar tricks, a great show. There's some great events coming up, starting with WordCamp Birmingham. WPins.
Love the lag.
Oh, baby. WordCamp.
Man, that's me and my Max Headstrom impersonation. You like that?
That was good, man.
All right, so go check it out. WordCamp Birmingham coming up this weekend. A lot of other events coming up. WordCamp LA, the 5th and 7th of September, followed later in the month by Europe, the 27th through the 29th. Prestige Conference, October 3rd through the 5th. And then early next year, January 22nd through the 24th. Tickets, I don't know if they've sold out yet, but I know they were pretty close. They went on sale on the 6th for Pressnomics 3. I will be there. Brad, I'm hoping you'll be there.
I will be there.
I really hope you're going to be there. It'd be great to see you, big guy.
I'm going to try. Pretty busy. Well, beyond that,
I think we'll see you actually San Francisco later this year, hopefully. So,
yep, definitely there. I live right down the road.
Love it. That's going to be awesome. Don't forget, folks, newly changed schedule for the folks at WP Tavern and Jeffro and Company, WP Weekly Live. Their podcast has officially moved to WordPress Wednesday. So starting at 9:30 p.m. this evening, right after Dragcast, you got WP Weekly Live with Jeffro and the WP Tavern crew. Go check them out. It's going to be kick-ass. And you go over to WPTavern.com, and there's a good link for you to go go check it out and join in on the fun. Chuck, Mr. Six-Pack of Sapporo, it's been awesome to talk to you. Where can folks find you, my brother?
Number one, I'm done, so I won that bet. best bet probably is just Twitter, man, at Chuck Reynolds. Chuck Reynolds, like Reynolds Wrap. I am not associated. I don't have Reynolds Tobacco money or Reynolds Aluminum money, but Chuck Reynolds on Twitter.
We need to dig a little deeper, but we can find out where that goes down the road. At Chuck Reynolds on Twitter. I love it. Thank you, sir, for episode 55 here. Bradford.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. It's been awesome. Where can we find you, Brad?
Oh, man, you can find me at DradCamp this weekend at your house, Dre. That's going to be awesome. So we're hanging out this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. But rather than peeking in the window and stalking us, why don't you just track me down on Twitter at WilliamsBA.
And I'm at Dre Maida. Not many of us will ever have the chance to be Popeye or Robin Hood. Most of us won't run a military radio station during the height of a large war. This week, we lost a comic great. Robin Williams, at age 63, passed away. Investigations point to suicide as the cause, which causes even greater pain and sadness for a lot of us, at least to me, as I feel it would and could have been prevented. Don't ever think that you're alone. Don't ever think that it's okay to battle depression on your own. And certainly, don't ever consider suicide as an option. If you're experiencing thoughts that lead you to think you're depressed or that you may cause harm to yourself, it's okay to ask for help. If you don't want to reach out to your friends and family, please call the National Suicide Prevention and Lifeline number right away at 800-273-8255. Something I wrote on Facebook this week, the clown uses humor to hide the pain. It's not just a coping mechanism for some, but a necessity to survive. It's amazing how the ones that bring us the most laughter seem to be the ones that live with the most internal misery. R.I.P. Robin Williams, you will always be one of the greats. Good night, Vietnam. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 55 with the one and only Chuck Reynolds. We're out, baby. Booyah.
Booyah. There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Dread.